Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Phil. Hello, everybody out there. And I want you to know that in San Diego, it's a beautiful day. Weather's fantastic. A little light overcast this morning. The sun shining was beautiful. I hope wherever you are, you're having a good day. So, amigo, what should we talk about first, huh?
Well, you know, Bill, I got this in the mail today. And you ain't going to like this one, trust me. But in your home state here, and let me get the...
Oh, God, yeah, they called me on this one. Yeah.
Ladies. You are unmuted, but I would like you to hold your response until we finish, okay?
All right,
Bill.
Back to Massachusetts.
Public swearing in Middleborough, Mass., now subject to a fine, Bill.
It's not the whole state, just one town.
Police Chief Bruce Gates discussed his town's proposed $20 fine for public profanity, okay? And we happen to have that video.
Gives me a broader selection of foods that I'd like to eat with my family, having things that are fresh without a lot of additives is important. Actually, there is a grocery store that's closer, but I prefer to come here.
Most of us think it's become a modern-day plague of sorts. I'm talking about the public use of...
Keller shows us tonight. It is so bad in one local town... They're considering a plan to start enforcing a long-standing but rarely used law.
It's a problem everywhere. You see it in the malls. You see it in the shopping plazas.
But this former town official says folks here in Middleborough have had enough of kids and some adults who think it's okay to drop high-volume obscenities in their otherwise bucolic downtown.
It's intimidating to my customers, to the people who are out here downtown. And I think that it's a good thing that they're doing something to try and curb it.
I don't think it'll solve the problem, but I think that it'll make them understand what is acceptable behavior and what is not.
It is a proposal by the town's police chief to give $20 tickets to vulgar loudmouths as a deterrent to downtown air pollution.
We have a lot more important things to do, but these are things that quality of life issues, the community policing issues that a lot of people don't want to see downtown.
Is this really a problem? Local teams were divided.
Not really proper etiquette, but it doesn't actually hurt anyone physically, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, do you want to answer?
Well, swearing does hurt people if you say it in a certain way.
Yeah. If it's used, like, hatefully, then it's, like, probably really wrong.
And is this really the solution?
It all has to do with, to me, how you raise...
Yeah.
And it kind of stinks because I grew up with, if you backtalked, you know, you would get a spanking or a slap and you wouldn't do it again.
Is $20 enough? We'll find out. Now, the chief there will make his case for a much more easily enforceable system of fines for public cursing at town meeting coming up in June. And if you think a $20 ticket for swearing seems a bit stiff, well, consider the fine some townspeople told me they'd prefer to see levied, $100 per curse. That'll lighten your wallet pretty quick, Jack and Lisa.
You know, but it has become so prevalent today. I mean, for some of these young people, it's every other word.
And not so young people, too. It's almost as if the culture's deteriorated, and maybe it's time to start shoring that baby up a little bit.
If nothing else, it just might make people think before they do it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, John.
All right. Listen, it's just a word. It's just a word. Now, let me ask you this here. What is wrong with me saying I can prick my finger, but I can't say I can finger my prick.
Well, you know what? It goes along the lines. It goes along the lines. This too, Bill. Let's say, Bill, using proper English, correct?
Yes,
okay,
indeed.
Okay, here we go. This is the many uses of the word fuck, Bill.
My hero.
I want to send this to that chief of police.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. Fuck, as most words in the English language, is derived from German, the word fricken, which means to strike. In English, fuck falls into many grammatical categories. As a transitive verb, for instance, John fucked Shirley. As an intransitive verb, Shirley fucks. Its meaning is not always sexual. It can be used as an adjective, such as John's doing all the fucking work. As part of an adverb, Shirley talks too fucking much. As an adverb enhancing an adjective, Shirley is fucking beautiful. As a noun, I don't give a fuck. As part of a word, abso-fucking-lutely, or in-fucking-credible. And as almost every word in a sentence, fuck the fucking fuckers. As you must realize, there aren't too many words with the versatility of fuck, as in these examples describing situations such as fraud, I got fucked at the used car lot, dismay, aw fuck it, trouble, I guess I'm really fucked now, aggression, don't fuck with me, buddy, difficulty, I don't understand this fucking question, inquiry, who the fuck was that? Dissatisfaction. I don't like what the fuck is going on here. Incompetence. He's a fuck off. Dismissal. Why don't you go outside and play hide and go fuck yourself? I'm sure you can think of many more examples. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be a...
What is so wrong with that word that...
Depending on when you use the word. We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. Fuck you.
Okay, it's all semantics, boys and girls. It's all semantics. Just recently, the Prince of England, he has one of the members of his team, a Pakistani guy. He called him a Paki. And that's very offensive in England to call Pakistani people Paki. It's just a word. And we're not poking his eyes out. We're not going to cut his tongue out. It's just a word. Everybody just relax. If you don't wish to swear, don't swear. If you find somebody's language offensive, move. Go somewhere else. That's all. Anybody want to comment on that?
Oh, I live in Massachusetts, and I am appalled. I am appalled because it's just the principle. Yeah, okay, they're targeting swearing, but, you know, on the long-term end, what is next? You know, the First Amendment here is, in my eyes, is being violated, and what are they going to, you know... F-bombs, that's not okay. If you say ass because it's in the dictionary, is that going to be okay? And I have another question. You know, they're saying that only the police will be able to write you this typical citation. What happens when you've got neighbors calling in and saying, well, this person swore at me and that person swore at me? You know, what kind of havoc is this about to reap on this town? And, you know, I am very much against it, extremely against it, because it has passed from what I saw on the news today, and it leads me to believe that other towns, other states, they're going to try to follow suit on this. And, you know, eventually any voice of reason we, the people of this country, have left is going to be flushed down the toilet. And
we have to remind us, thing of the Patriot Act, all of our rights have been taken away daily, guys.
Yeah, that's the truth. But I'm not for this, because if you have a public gathering where there's people going to be speaking and things may get a little bit excitable, then people going to be arrested, you know? I mean, to me, this just is, it's sour. It's sour on my tongue right at the moment, and I don't go for it. I really don't. And it's like, you know, if I'm working outside in my yard and I'm banging a hammer and that friggin' hammer bangs my thumb and I want to drop a damn F-bomb, I should be entitled to do that. You know, who is anybody else to say that that's appropriate speech and that's not appropriate speech? I look at it like this. Any walk of life knows, well, you know, if you're in a store or you're with a group of over 80, if you're, you know, at a hospital visiting somebody, well, there's a time and a place for swearing. You need to contain yourself. Act appropriate. But, you know, who is anybody to say when I can drop a swear and when I can't? And what constitutes swearing? What words? Where's this list of words that is going to be, you know, these are the swear words and these are not, quote unquote, the swear words. And I was always raised with whatever's not in the English dictionary or any type of dictionary, then it's probably not proper etiquette. But the more modern dictionaries nowadays have some words in it that, you know, I mean, bitch is in there because that's a female dog. Ass is in there because it's a donkey. And the list goes on and on. You know, this is kind of like, quote unquote, that Facebook list of words you can't write and can write. You know, it's baloney that higher-ups are still contributing to what we do. You know, pretty soon we're going to be walking around like little robots and getting our instructions and doing what somebody else tells us to do. There is going to be no more freedom of anything. You won't be able to talk. You won't be able to wear what you wear, do what you want to do, etc. And, yeah, that's going on now, but it's definitely going to get worse at this point.
Look at the lack of rights in China today. Look at the fact that China is expanding itself. I hope it never comes to being, but my grandchildren may have to some seriously wonder about, will we be Chinese America? We don't know what this is going to be like. If they do take over, this democracy loses and communism takes effect, as it has in so many countries, there'll be no individual. Communism doesn't want the individual. Communism is about the collective. There will not be any more Americans. We will be Americans in name, but not in spirit. What makes us is who we are is the way we are. Why change us?
Tell me something, though. With this stuff jumping off in Massachusetts, and on some levels it is attacking the freedom of speech, you know, what groups can get involved with trying to set, you know, some type of precedence here to stop this? Yeah, we understand that there's a time and a place for swearing, but what we don't understand is being told what we can and cannot say at all times.
I think the ACLU, if they wish to get involved, I think that would be the biggest ally we would have at this point. If they choose to get involved, they may find it's not, you know, politically correct to bother. But that's the big cheese right now.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Philip goes, yeah. Okay, there you go.
No, I was thinking, I was reading something here, but I was thinking where I was going to go after that. Because, like, right now, they got the same thing, Bill, with, they're discriminating people saying the word, the swear word.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, asshole, bitch, whatever. Cocksucker, whatever, right? And then you got the discrimination on the basis of clothing or club membership.
Right.
Okay. That's another one that came out. Now, in 1974, they did the Unruh Civil Rights Act, CC Section 51, right?
Mm-hmm.
Provides that all persons within the jurisdiction of this state are free and equal, and no matter what their sex, race, color, religion, interest, ancestry, national origin, or blindness, or other physical disability, are entitled to the full and equal accommodations, advantages, facilities, privileges, or services in all business establishments of every kind whatsoever. So why is it this asshole fucking chief of police decided he wanted to charge everybody $20? Swear.
Well, I believe that
100, 150, 100, It's about 100. What, Philadelphia is how far from Boston?
A couple hundred more.
A couple hundred miles.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, a guy in Philadelphia flipped off a cop. You ended up getting $50,000. It's not illegal to flip a cop off anywhere in the United States.
Benjamin Franklin, our great statesman, said, and I wish to share this with you. He said, "Your rights stop where the tip of my nose starts." And I know you guys heard me say that many times. That's how I feel. If I'm not doing something to physically bother you, just leave me alone.
Exactly.
If I'm doing something you don't like, you go somewhere else.
Another
thing that I have concern with, these storefront owners. Okay, there's people gathering on a main street. Okay, the store owners are saying that these teenagers and adults are swearing up a storm. Now you've got hearsay. You've got a store owner calling in saying there's a group of people right here on my sidewalk in front of my entryway swearing. What are you going to do about it? So, God forbid this.
Does he wait
till
after they buy something?
No. Teenagers don't buy nothing.
But that's what I'm saying. It's going to be hearsay. The owners, unless they've got it recorded, you know, and audio, whatever, all is, you know, concrete proof, it's going to be, well, they're here and they were swearing. And they're going to say, well, we weren't swearing. We were passing by. And, you know, maybe the 90-year-old man down the street having a heart attack is not going to get the attention he needs because they're in front of a storefront trying to figure out who actually swore. I think it is foolish. Every aspect of it is ridiculous.
Well,
how do you draw out that
goes along with that shirt I have, Bill. You know the one that says repeat offender?
Yes, I do. You know, this whole country of ours is just going downhill slowly. This is not a bad mouthing our country. I love this country, but I'm very disappointed the direction that we're traveling in, even as far as the military goes, and I'll pick on the Marines right now. I want a Marine. I want an ass kicker. I want somebody out there defending my country with his or her life. I want them killing the enemy. But today when I listen to the Marine Corps, they want them to be politicians. They want them to be Renaissance men. You know, in one sense, we want the Marines to go out and do something, but we're holding them back. Kind of like back to Vietnam War. We were over there, but there never was a plan to win. This is where I see what's going on in the country. We just can't wrap anything up at all. And who respects America anymore? Tell me, well, maybe Canada. They like us, maybe. Who respects America? The answer is nobody does. That's kind of sad.
Yep.
What do you
I
say
agree.
About that, Ryan?
I think it's a load of shit because they're going to start off by little things like, you know, cussing, things like that. And before you know it, they're taking more rights and more rights and to bullshit. I think that we've grown into a bunch of spineless people that aren't going to do shit about it. Somebody needs to step up and preferably the Supreme Court and realize that this is bullshit and they're not supposed to be doing it. Who knows if they will or not. They seem to be bought just as easy as anybody else does.
Hey, by the way, listen, did you get the package Phil and I sent you? No?
I'm trying to think. I did get a package of some biker stuff.
Fellows.
Watch out for motorcycles.
No, we sent you a package of marshmallows.
No, I didn't get those.
Is that fire getting close?
Yeah, oh, man, it's getting damn close. You know, it's still, for me, it's about 50 miles away, which isn't bad. It's enough where I can see it at night. Go to the house. But,
send the marshmallows back.
People
then.
In Fort Collins and around there, it's awful. So
I made a joke. Arf, that was a joke.
Oh, I know it. I get it now.
Somebody free on the uptake.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying my day job. I know
it. So what else
is
happening?
So Nora.
Yes.
Hang on 1 second. So Nora, what's
okay.
going on?
What
kind of burning fire do you have? Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold that thought for 1 second. Bill, we have to apologize to you, please.
Well, we do because...
Because we had meetings.
Ahead.
We had meetings.
Yep.
We had photo shots. We had talks. We talked to TV stars.
Naked women.
Naked women, and they did. Well, Bill would smile, but Phil doesn't know how to smile yet.
We
were supposed to do
some Washington thing.
We were supposed to do something, and we talked to our good friend Rusty. He laughed that you still have two pairs of his pants. He said it was great. He said, I'll write you a thing, you know, blah, 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 blah. The good, we'll pick it up on the way home. Unfortunately, the last event we went to was the nudity, and after the nudity, we forgot to pick up the autograph. So when one of us goes up there next time, Rusty's already got it. He says he hopes he enjoys his pants. And
I haven't gotten in them yet to take a picture and post them on Facebook because I'll look ridiculous. I have nothing to hold them up.
No, that you don't. you're a tiny person, and Rusty's a big man.
I'm not big enough to fill that man's pants.
When he comes to San Diego and we go up to Orange County, it's all waiting for us to send it out to you. We apologize. We set everything up, but then the nude thing came around, and both Philip and I forgot what the hell we were doing.
Well, that's a good excuse because nudity does happen to deter the eye and the train of thought.
I got to tell you right now. There's a girl. And a pink top
dress?
Yes. No. Listen, I turned around, and Bernie said, hey, I know that girl. He said, I'll get a hug from that girl. Then the guy next to him says, yeah, I know her too. I'll get a hug from her too. Then they say, this guy'd like to take a picture with you, which was me. Now, I can't really put a size to those things, Bill.
No, each one the size of her head.
But my comment after I took that picture to you was, what?
God bless this country. It's women like that. That's why the communists will never take over. Each one of her boobs individually was as big as her head. God bless that.
Holy moly! Well,
that's
my.
So funny. Yeah, you know, real quick. That man did not know I had his pants. The only one that knew
I
had
his
pants.
No, but I told him now.
Sure.
He thought that was hilarious.
We told him you have two pants.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to find a home for him. And, you know, like I said, it's, you know, I was helping people out, even one of the guys here. And, you know, I sent him three pairs, you know.
No,
and,
tell them what I told you to do with one of the pairs of pants.
Oh, I have to send a pair to Stacy because she's going to put them in the shadow box and frame them.
Yeah, that's what I said to when she first got the pants. I said, Nora, you have to put one in a shadow box frame, put a little Attica 7 sticker. I'm like, you know.
I don't have an
up.
Attica 7 sticker.
And she was like, no, I can't hang those pants up on the wall. I'm like, why? I would.
No, she first told me to get inside a pair of pants and take a picture and post it on Facebook. Because I got a pair of boxers from Shirley, and they were so big on me. Stacy's comment was, you can fit two of you in there.
Oh, yeah.
They went way past my knees.
Yep.
They're like giving me the shorts. Okay. Anyhow.
If you guys would like to see the girl that I was talking about, I just
go on the blog.
A picture, though.
It's not on the blog. It's on the page.
You need to get a side shot to really appreciate it.
I think I have it.
What does one do with all that, though? That's what I'd like to know. You know what? Forget it. Don't answer that, guys.
I know.
Yeah, they're asking around where you may not want to open.
Yeah you're
exactly.
Bill, I do have to inform you on something. And then we can get back to talking about whatever we're going to do. Phil and I had contacted Alicia's show last night. Okay, And so I told him, I said, are you calling in? And he's like, yeah, as soon as I hear you, I'll call in. I'm like, okay. So Phil sat there and told Alicia that I was frustrated and what should I do? Okay. So I think we might have made Phil red in the face. Because then we had to start talking certain things, and he was laughing. I said, now see, we can't see the smile because he's on the phone.
No doubt. No doubt.
I don't think so.
Here we go.
I don't think so.
Well, no, we were talking about toys.
You know, he's not a... He's not a distorted person.
As a
matter of fact, he's not like he didn't belong in a circus. I mean, he's got a good face.
And
I don't know why.
And as a matter of fact, I don't know. What were your ears burning, Alicia, or what?
Why? I just told Bill what we were talking about on your show last night.
Oh, yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Oh, did you go on that website and look at that toy?
You know what? No, because I have to tell you, I was looking for the Hitachi, and they didn't have it on the site that I was promoting. I was like, oh, no. So then I started looking for that, and I was like, oh, my God, have you seen it?
No, not yet. I didn't get a chance to go for there. But now you got to go see the other one because it's a multi-positional one. It's like clearly that.
I know I have to go look for it, but yeah, I was looking at the other thing and I'm like, okay, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? Because it's like this big long wand. And like, if you can picture, it gets better. If you can picture like a sander, like something or like a really big marshmallow, that's the end of it. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? So I hope it comes with instructions because I think I'm going to need them. Yeah, but I do have to go on the Trojan site and look at that one, too.
Oh, my God. I'll have to get
funny.
Over there. That was BenRod.com, right?
Yes, and you know what?
Yeah.
Actually, next week, we're running a different promotion for the two nights, the nights that I'm on and the nights that the Whitney Morgan and Sydney Screams is on, and it's through BenRod. And we haven't worked out the details yet, but it actually might be a free product if you either pay for the shipping and handling and you get the free product, or if you buy something, then you get something free. So we're still working out the details with that. So, you know, if you didn't buy anything, maybe this week was a better week to wait because it just seems like this week is a better deal for everybody. So, like, I'm excited about that.
So now call in on your show next week so that way I can see what the deal is.
Okay,
we're
good.
Just gonna embarrass you guys tonight.
Yeah. Well, I certainly do not look at you any differently.
I know.
Hey, you know, I'm sorry. I think it's a healthy thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite
everybody else
though.
Got kind of quiet.
Well, you guys have got the floor. I'm in the closet on all of this stuff. This was stuff that you guys all talked about last night or the night before. So.
Well, no,
yeah.
Phil had to be a smartass, and you know, we were making comments on the phone, so he's like, "Oh, Alicia, show us that." I'm like, "Oh, okay." I said, "Send me the number," and so he sent me the number. Because I didn't have, now I got programmed in my phone. But it was funny, you know. I'm like, well, what am I going to talk about? Because sometimes you guys are already in. Well, sometimes you guys are already in the conversation, you know. And it's like, okay, what am I going to do? Duh.
Well, that was a good conversation to jump in on.
Yeah, it was. We closed you off with... talking about toys.
Yeah, that was funny though. That was good though, and I think it ended up on a high note.
Yep, it did.
Yeah, but yeah, if you get a chance, go look on there because you know, like I actually went on there and I looked at the prices, and when I called into the other girl's show tonight, they pulled up the website, and she even said, like, their prices are real reasonable. Like, everything,
right.
You know, like, a lot of the, you know, the vibrators and stuff like that are under $20. So,
right.
You know, like, last night with the promotion, it was 30% off, which, you
right.
know, still was a good deal. But, you know, like I said, next week should be a better deal. And actually, it'll last longer because it's going to go over two shows. So if anybody misses Wednesday night, they can definitely do Thursday night, too.
Mama, call the show with us. Get on Alicia's show with us. You'll have a ball.
Oh, me?
It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mom,
yeah. Call, yeah, come on.
I'm not afraid to get on her.
I don't know if the world's ready for all that.
Oh, yes, it is. Trust me. And Phil
yeah,
will just listen to all of us talking.
Yeah, Phil listens. He just sits there and he gets real quiet. I think he just absorbs everything. Sometimes I don't think he knows what to make of the third subject, but, you know.
Yeah, you know,
good.
After your show, I did tell him to go over to the website there, to BenLaw.com, and, you know, get stuff for his wife. And his
yeah.
typical man's response, cheering and run. I said, all women do.
I was actually probably, like, in my 30s when I got my first one. And, you know, like, I always thought about, you know, man, that would probably be, like, interesting to have one. And, I was in my 30s when I first got one. So there's no age discrimination, believe me. If you want to, like he said, you know, you're up in the middle of the night, you can't sleep, you bring that out, and it relaxes you.
So much for pulling out the Kindle at night. Reach for the nightside stand, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Unless your Kindle vibrates, you know, you're better off pulling that out.
Well, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to tell you as a Dr. Love wants you to understand that Dr. Love understands your needs. Dr. Love understands if you're alone, you don't need to be alone. Dr. Love says, whatever helps you get through the night. Dr. Love understands, ladies. Dr. Love approves.
Oh, good. I was hoping Dr. Love would come out tonight.
I know.
All right.
The only person I could think of with Bill saying all the Dr. Love stuff, I've got this ravaging image of Gene Simmons in my head holding a vibrator.
Wait, is he exercising though, doing it?
Oh, God,
that's funny.
Now, see,
yes.
See how much fun we're having here? And this can
yes.
be on Alicia's show. It is amazing. Y'all have fun. You got to come with us Wednesday. Or, you
well,
know,
we'll,
call in.
Well, we'll
yes.
see. We'll see.
Okay.
Oh, fun.
Hey, we got a little off track, but I want to throw this one out to you guys.
Okay.
The California Appeal Court limits traffic stop automobile searches. The California Court of Appeal rules arrest during a traffic stop automatically authorized vehicle. Get out of a vehicle during a traffic stop does not justify a search of the automobile. The California Appeal Court ruled Friday. The three-judge panel further developed the U.S. Supreme Court's finding in Arizona versus Gantt that arresting a motorist does not automatically authorize a warrantless search. On September 27, 2009, Mr. Evans made a left-hand turn from West Boulevard onto Slauson Avenue in Los Angeles. Police officer Kevin Curry and officer... What the fuck is that guy's name? I'm just going to call him Dickhead. Officer Dickhead claimed Evans failed to signal and that he was driving erratic. When they pulled Evans over, he appeared nervous because the stop was at night and in gang territory. Evans was ordered out of the car, and Evans rolled down his window and asked why he was being stopped, but did not exit. After reinforcements arrived, Officer Curry blasted Evans with pepper spray. Another officer busted a window and tasered Evans. He was yanked out of his car and tackled on the ground. Officer Dickhead searched the car for empty sandwich bags and $65 in cash. The automobile was impounded while Evans was treated at the hospital. What, were they trying to handcuff him for his own safety, Bill?
That's
that what
right,
happened?
That's right, because, you know, you could hurt yourself, poke yourself in the eye.
Exactly. At the impound lot, a more thorough search of the car turned up enough cocaine to earn him a four-day jail sentence with credit for 4 days time served. Los Angeles County Superior Court judge found the search was unjustified under the automobile exception to the required. Searches should be performed only after obtaining a warrant. The appellate court disagreed, citing the precedent by the Gantt ruling that a search incident to arrest is only valid if the suspect can reach his vehicle or there is some reason to think the car contains evidence relevant to the arrest. When the initial search of the vehicle is completed, Evans had been detained and was lying face down on the ground outside the vehicle, with officers on top of him. He must have been handcuffed him for his own safety.
He could poke his eye, scratch himself.
Yeah. Judge Richard D. Aldrich wrote for the court, plainly he did not have access to the car's interior. No, I don't think so. With those fucking guys, he probably had seven or eight guys on his back and nobody trying to put the handcuffs on. Prosecutors argued that the presence of drugs in the car would constitute his motive for his crime. What crime did he do?
Refusing to comply with the police officer.
Well,
that's
okay.
What he did.
So
that's what he didn't do.
That's what he didn't do, huh? So it took fucking...
I'm just telling you,
right.
That's why they're going to screw the guy, because he...
They overturned it. Prosecutors argued that the presence of drugs in the car would constitute his motive for his crime. Refusing to comply with the police officer's instruction for him to get out of the car, the appellate panel rejected this line of argument as justifying a search for any vehicle at any time. It's not difficult to imagine scenarios in which documentary evidence of a motive, knowledge, or intent could reasonably be expected to be found in a car, even when the driver is arrested for minor traffic offense. But there might be evidence of a motorist's motive in the car, perhaps an appointment card showing he or she was late to a doctor's visit, or tickets suggesting he or she was in a hurry to attend the final game of the World Series. Or a vehicle might contain evidence, distractions that cause the motorist to run a red light.
I used to date a girl. She was a distraction. No, she was a distraction. Well, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, these are precisely the sort of traffic offenses which Grant held would not give reason to basis to search. Because the exemptions do not apply, the court overturned the conviction. A copy of the decision is available in 180 PDF, the source of the link below. I'll put that in there.
This happens in every country. This happens in every city. I'm sorry.
Hey, Bill, I got off the freeway today. It was happening when I came off the freeway on 76. They had a fucking car pulled over there.
I'd like to, when you get a moment, bring the thing on Pastor Z up too. Can we later on? I really want to see that with everybody when you get a little chance.
Yeah. Well,
after we get later on about that.
But what I'm saying is
yeah.
Okay. With this,
well, I'm thinking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Okay. They limit the court limits traffic stop automobile searches. But, obviously, these cocksuckers on the ground out in the field give a shit.
Well, I still don't understand how I can be pulled over on my motorcycle, and bear with me, tell me if you think I'm wrong, and they're going to put my passenger in handcuffs?
Yeah.
They're going to put my passenger on the ground?
Yeah.
If I'm driving the motorcycle, what possible violence or offense has my passenger done? I never could figure that out.
Well, you know, Bill, if you go to the quote-unquote biker 101 that they teach in the academy,
yeah.
It says all women carry the knives, the dope, the money, the guns, whatever.
If I'm the one committing speeding, if I'm the one that runs the red light driving the vehicle, what gives anybody the right in America to pull a passenger and say, let's start inspecting them? That's the part I still can understand. And Go ahead. Good. Maybe
we'll talk about that. Well, I've read a couple of different things in books, newspapers, etc. I can't quote which book at what time, but it was clearly stated that on some occasions the women, as in passengers or just standbyers, were the more dangerous to deal with than the actual person. And I couldn't quite understand that myself, but I have read it.
Hmm. Yeah, but was the person trying to do anything that, you know, would constitute violence?
No. I've been pulled over, and I have a passenger in the back. And, again, the passenger's in handcuffs, so the passenger's laying on the ground. Well, the passenger's sitting on the curb with their ankles crossed. What possibly... All right, let's change. I'm walking down the street with somebody.
Bill, that's just like the night I was downtown. okay?
Yeah, but you
would
drive around with this big dummy, you know, this big blow-up thing. That's different.
No.
The truth is coming out.
Yes, he's a closet person.
He's driving around California with a blow-up doll.
Yep.
Filing now. I wish you could see.
All right.
Those are the pictures we need to see right there, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Let me get to the story.
Go ahead.
All right, so, like, when I went downtown that night,
uh-huh.
And I went and I was at the bar for about a half hour. Yeah. I got on my bike, went to the corner, I stopped. I went to the next corner, I stopped. I signaled to make a left turn. They were sitting at the other stop sign parked
yeah.
on the side of the street, correct? I get to the next corner, I turn on my signal, I stop, I make a left. I get to the stop sign in front of the theater, Bill.
Right.
They came from every fucking direction, lights on, felony hot stop, the whole fucking thing. Yanked me off my bike, took my helmet off my head, as you can hear me perfectly screaming, I do not give up my fucking rights.
Yeah.
You can't do this. I do not give up my rights. As I'm being told, I'm being handcuffed, my own safety at
your
this
own
point,
safety.
Okay. They proceeded to take.
You are not arrested this time. You're going to be just handcuffed.
Correct. They proceeded to take my helmet off my head without my permission because they didn't have a warrant. They went in my saddlebags because they didn't have a warrant. They took the hammer off the top of my bag. They took the gun out of my fucking waistband. They took the knife out of my back pocket. As I'm sitting on the fucking curb screaming with all about 200 or 300 people coming out of the fucking theater because the movie ended. So now I got a crowd. Now I'm waiting to get fucking tasered. Okay?
Oh, God.
Yeah. At this point, the sergeant shows up. The watch commander,
yeah.
Because I'm hollering. I want to see him, too. So, in the meantime, I'm sitting on the curb, and I'm still screaming, and this guy gets out of the fucking expedition, like he owns the fucking street, walks over and says, so what's going on? What the fuck does he want? Our buddy says, well, he's red and white. And I said, just like you fucking lie all the time, you cocksucker, you're fucking lying now.
See, there's two approaches to life. There's the Phil approach and there's the Bill approach.
I've used the Phil approach, and believe me, I've gotten into some trouble. But I do know my rights, and as quick as I'm in the trouble, I'm out. So
exactly. Well, the day I went to court, to my right is seven guys.
Mm-hmm.
To the left is just little old me. 20 minutes after all this went down and they took all my shit and thought I was going to fucking just sit there and wait for somebody to bring me a helmet, I started up my bike and I drove away. Because
wow.
At this point, $25 for a fix-it ticket.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Okay?
I understand.
Because I said, arrest me. If you don't cooperate, we're going to charge you under obstruction under Penal Code 148. I was already fucking handcuffed. I said, let's go see the judge. Because they have night court in Chula Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you get down to Chula Vista, all the bullshit and the paperwork gets filled out to take you to court, it's about 8.5 hours. They don't want to.
Hmm. There's not enough program there.
No. So what they did was they unhandcuffed me, took all my shit, and then 20 minutes later found out that they were all wrong. But at this point, they were behind the eight ball because
yeah.
they can't give me anything
right.
back.
Mm-hmm.
They have to wait till the court date.
Right.
So when I got to court, I said my spiel. He looked over at them and asked them. They said, at this time, we have nothing to say.
Mm.
So I
wow.
objected, and I, this time, Your Honor, I would like a motion to dismiss.
Right.
And he granted it.
Okay.
And then he said, is there anything else I can do for you today? And I said, yes. I'd like a writ of habeas corpus to get all my stuff back.
And did you get it back?
I got it. After 2 weeks.
I was going to say, it doesn't come right
after
away.
After they bust, no, no. I had the paper in my hand.
Yeah.
It was 4:45. I went out. I rode that fucking bike like I stole it to the fucking evidence thing over there on Oceanside
right, right,
Boulevard.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As I'm walking up to the door, it's 5:05. I made it there in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could have fucked with me for that, but they didn't. Because he just got spanked. And the fucking close, I get to the door and the close sign goes in the window because somebody made a phone call and said I was on my way. So for the next 2 weeks, every time I went up there on my bike, the close sign went in the window. So then I figured, I'll take the cage.
Yeah.
The day I took the cage, I was inside at the counter and they had to give me my stuff. And then when they handed me the pistol, there was no bullets in it. So what did I do? The next day I went back, I got another fucking wrist to make them give me back my bullets.
Yeah. You know, last time I was in court, and it was not that long ago, and as you know, my problems recently, which I dealt with, when my problems were all over and there was not a single shred of evidence stuck to me, I was leaving, and I want you guys to ask this in the future, too. As I was leaving, I asked all the attorneys that were on the other side. I didn't think I needed to bring an attorney in because at $500,000 a day court costs, then I don't go broke. So I took care of myself, and I know they say if you defend yourself, you have a fool for a client and all that, but it was just the money was too much. But not a single shred of evidence lasted. It was all done. When I was leaving, I leaned forward and I asked the attorneys against me, only loud enough for them to hear, not the judge. I said, when I came in, I swore an oath to tell the truth. I think it's rather odd that not one of you lawyers here swore the oath. One attorney smiled and said, Bill, do you really expect lawyers to tell the truth? And that was the most honest statement I ever had in my life. He only said it loud enough for me to hear it, but do you expect lawyers to tell the truth? And I went, what type of system do we have where I'm being accused of things, I'm defending myself, I'm being honest about everything, and it's proved, okay, Bill's got nothing to do, he's innocent. And the lawyers say, well, we're not here to tell the truth. We're here basically to get a conviction. It's
right.
A sad country we live in, boys.
Because as of Monday, June 4th, at 8:33 a.m., Bill,
yeah.
It was a hung jury, 5 guilty, 7 not guilty. Next week, the government will decide if they're going to retry the case.
Which case is one?
Well, you were just talking about.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, but not regarding my aspect.
No.
I'm innocent of everything.
Right.
Well, I'm not guilty of everything.
Me too.
Where the hell I am, yeah.
Me too. And Tuesday, June 12th, at 12:30 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. We got case dismissed.
Outstanding.
So kudos to the boys for...
I want you guys to understand this, especially ladies. My shop was raided 2 or 3 times, and they went to my house. My wife is in a wheelchair, and they went to my house, and they talked to my wife. This is a statement. I always told my wife, just never say nothing. This is what my wife said. He didn't do it, and he wasn't there. So I came home, she said, hold him, Bill. You didn't do it, and you weren't there. I said, what didn't I do, honey? Where was I? She goes, oh, shit, I don't know. But
oh, that's cute.
My wife defended me. He didn't do it. He wasn't there. Well, what did he do? Where? Just don't say nothing. But anyway, we've had a couple of strange weeks, which I had a large amount of bogus accusations, and every single one of them over the course of a long trial. Nothing.
No.
This is what happens when you have RICO steps into your neighborhood.
Yep.
Everybody in your neighborhood gets pulled in. Everybody out there has not been involved with RICO. I'm telling you, it's a freaking nightmare.
Well,
your rights are gone.
Well,
everybody gets pulled in.
Well, you know, just like when we talked to the investigator, Bill.
Which time?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the last time we talked to him.
Yeah.
And she said to you, "Well, they're gonna call you,
mm-hmm.
and they're not gonna call me.
They don't want you on the stage.
They didn't want me there.
No.
Because you remember what she called me?
A loose cannon.
I would get in that jury box. And
I don't know why somebody would think that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil is a great guy, but I want to say something right now. If you're on trial and you need a witness, you better call Bill Kennedy. If you call Phil, Phil for life.
That's why he is.
For me, but he is Phil. He's got the Chicago thug in him.
Okay. You know,
that's over.
I've had a tremendous
headache. We know how to do stuff. Well, you know, here in Chicago, they already put the governor signed the RICO in effect here in this state.
Well, I'm telling you, be afraid of RICO.
Yep.
All my rights were violated. Everything was violated. Nothing held up. Nothing held up. And yet they came at me like gangbusters. If
that's
you get
horrible.
Involved, you just they pull everybody in they can. The whole damn neighborhood. Somewhere they're going to put one piece of evidence for one person, another piece of evidence for another person. But I want to say this to everybody tonight. I want you to think about this, please. You can talk all the smack you want on how you're not going to snitch. You can talk all the smack all you want, I'll never roll over. Until you are handcuffed to the chair in the police station, then you tell me you won't roll over. Then you got to decide, are you a man or a woman? Are you going to stand up? My case, I could not leave my neighborhood. It would never happen. I had to be stand up. But I can see where you'd be sweating bullets in there. This is not a nice place to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, I have to run.
Okay.
Later here. But I appreciate you letting me call in and talking to you.
Sam?
Alicia, and we will see you on Wednesday on your show.
Okay, I look forward to it. All right, everybody have a good weekend.
Okay,
you too.
Right. We'll see you, Alicia.
All right, take care.
Where is Silent Art? Where is he? I don't hear
commentary. He's in the chat.
He hasn't said anything?
He said that toys are fun.
Oh, okay. Just making sure he's with the program now.
Yeah, he's with the program.
So, Ryan... What's the deal with the pictures, Ron? The girl sitting in the car with her foot on the dashboard. Bill and I really like those.
She is amazing. Only issue with her is she's also a school teacher, so I got to be careful where we put her stuff because of the kids and her job. So I just have to get her permission. I'm about it. She's awesome.
All right,
15 years old.
Already had a couple of schools on there. There's no problem. School.
Doesn't look like this. I have no problem with it. I'll call tonight and get her approval, and you should be good to go. I've already talked to the photographer, and he's fine. So we're golden.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's awesome. That's, I think, the second or third time she's ever really done any modeling. Time I ever worked with her was at a fashion show, which was her first fashion show. So she's got a look that's going to go somewhere. She's definitely a pretty girl.
I think she's sexy. I haven't seen many one-legged women modeling before. Very sexy.
Right, exactly. You know, you
don't get one leg in the car.
What,
do you get a problem because you only get one leg? What the hell is your problem?
No.
Why are you that way? She's sitting in the car. She's got one leg up the dash.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know.
What are you making fun? Because she's an amputee or something? What is wrong with you tonight?
No.
She's probably,
you can't see her
she's
other
probably
leg.
A very nice girl. She doesn't. Maybe she doesn't have another leg. God, I tell you.
You can't see her other leg.
There are
leg.
Times you just irritate me. She's only got one leg. She's got a lot. She's bringing a lot to the table. I'm sure she's like, you know.
So yeah, car there has a recorded speed of 180 miles an hour. It's a 1969
AMC Javelin.
Yep.
It's an AMC Javelin. Them cars are worth that car right there is worth $300,000 stock. Nothing done to it. Turnkey stock car, $300,000.
Yeah, we had three of those at our event. We had that one that was car and then two that were original stock. So, pretty cool.
When are we doing another one?
Actually, we're looking at another one. A buddy today in Wyoming kind of been talking to me. We're looking at setting one up in a national park about 20 miles north of Cheyenne, where there's all kinds of rock formations and caves, granite stuff, all kinds of stuff. So we're going to try to set that up and do the same type of a thing with an outdoor theme. And then we'll just be renting the park out for the day.
Okay.
Are you going to have any more handicapped women, or is that the only shot you're going to go with?
Well, for you, we're going to try to get as many as we can. We don't want to, you know, back burner with that. So, no, hell, it's open to anybody. If somebody's up for it, then absolutely. We're easy.
Who's doing the dance with the phone?
Not me. I'm sitting.
What do you mean dance?
No,
I snapped my fingers. I snapped my fingers. I snapped my fingers because I was trying to get a dog in the house without having to say anything. Sorry.
Hey, where's the little squeaker?
Yeah, Bill's got something he wants to share with you. Art sent this today.
Art, thank you for this.
And Bobby knows about this too. Bobby's in the chat room. I wanted Bobby to call in and talk about this, but go ahead, Bill.
Will you read it, please? I'm going to put something together in my head while you think real quick.
It says, leave it to Pastor Z and Bikers for Christ to come up with the great counter move. See, what happened is in Laughlin and Vegas and basically most of the places around now, just like the L.A. calendar show this year, Bill, it's the same bullshit like last year.
Right.
Okay? You can't wear any kind of colors, any support gear, nothing. So no surprises. But here's what Pastor Z did at the Laughlin River Run this year. And yes, it drove them absolutely nuts.
And Pastor Z is a friend of ours. We see him time to time. He's the head of a church.
So
Bikers for Christ. He's okay guy.
So I'm at the shop yesterday, as a matter of fact, or Tuesday. What he did at the Laughlin River Run this year, and yes, it drove the cops absolutely nuts. We wore our cuts everywhere. We went outside of the rally perimeters where it stated no club colors. And then I told the 30 or so members that were there, turn them inside out and put them back on. We got some big brothers in. We walked through the vendors and events. The cops could clearly see that we belonged to something. I asked to speak to the supervisor. A police captain came out. And I asked him, are you guys more happy now that you can't tell who or what we are? The captain said, we actually rather know who and what we're dealing with. I'd rather look across the parking lot and say, there's
X Club.
Keep an eye on him. So I don't like this at all. So he didn't like what they were doing at all. And Pastor Z told him, have a nice weekend, and 30 of them walked away. He walked away. I looked back, and he was shaking his head, as he still had no idea what club he was just talking to. We all had a great laugh out of it because their great plan completely backfired, and they lucky that we were who and what we were. Checkmate. If we all do the same thing, it's going to drive them nuts. If you tell them, if they tell you to take them off, turn it inside out and keep the cuts on. They won't know who or what they're dealing with. Just a thought. Sure tweak them out in Laughlin, courtesy of the Bikers for Christ. Love and respect, Pastor Z.
And again, I do have great respect for Pastor Z. He's a person I do call a friend. I take great umbrage with his actions. I am a former club member. The idea of Mike taking my colors and turning them inside out would just never happen in my lifetime. If these events don't want wearing colors, I say all bikers boycott the events, patch holders and non-patch holders. Now, I see what Fred Z, being a nice pastor, he's saying, what can we do to try and make things nice? That's a pastor's job. Taking your colors, turn them inside out, and walking around, it's just irritating the shit out of me. You either don't go to the events if you're in a club. By that, I'm talking about not only just the patch holders. I'm talking about the Harley Davidson, Hoggy Goops. You know,
everybody.
If all the bikers just would protest the damn event,
the unity.
Then
if they'd all come together,
right.
If they'd all come together, they'd have the fucking.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the bucks.
And if we don't show up, but I'm if anybody else would out to just like to debate this with me, I'll take it. But I see his point. But as a person who's in a club, it rankles me. I can't see myself doing that. But anybody else want to jump in on that?
Well, you know, Bill, they put all the veterans clubs on the watch list now.
Same thing.
So now we're at all the motorcycle clubs.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the higher echelon, the lower echelon as it goes down. Now we're at the veterans clubs.
Hmm.
Next, it'll be the religious clubs.
And the Hoggies.
After that, it'll be the Hoggies. Be anybody that rides a fucking skateboard.
I don't want to talk to you. I know how you feel about this. out there in the radio land and the radio waves. Somebody talk to me how they feel about this.
One of us here? I'll use my mind. I can't, I'm not a patch holder, I'm a female, and yeah, there are plenty of female clubs, but I have friends that were, you know, 1% clubs, friends that were social clubs, et cetera, that involved a set of colors or a patch or whatever, and, you know, you have to earn that patch, first of all. It's a brotherhood and a sisterhood, and it's, you know, there's a lot you got to do for it, and to take it off and turn it inside out, you might as well just throw it on the ground and step all over it. You know, it's, again, I think it's foolish. I've always stated on all these shows that, you know, the whole thing with removing one's colors or bandanas or whatever the hell it is that you're wearing, I don't particularly go for, but I do understand what the pastor was trying to do, and he did it in a respectable manner because he is a man of God, I guess. But as for everybody else, I don't think people who are wearing colors or patches or whatever, I would think the majority would turn around and say no, they weren't going to put them on inside out, because it's their right to be able to wear what they want, when they want, and how they want. So, I mean, that's just what I think and feel.
I appreciate you saying that, because, again, I love the fact that you said that we give kudos to Pastor Z, because as a minister and the head of his organization, he felt he was trying to make a statement. It irritates me. Sometimes it's got to be right and it's got to be wrong, but I don't know. It just, give me another. Bobby, you out there, how do you feel about that, Bobby?
Yeah, that's a tough call. It's a very interesting point, and it does tend to do as it was intended or desired here, to throw them off. But, you know, American biker culture is a very proud one, and the whole point about wearing our colors is really to secure and maintain our right as U.S. citizens for free speech. So even by virtue of trying to turn it inside out, I'd be very surprised if you'd find many patch holders who'd be willing to do that. They would rather face things head on and get into it face to face than having to do anything with colors. So that's just sort of the reality of it. But it is an interesting concept, and maybe it's one that we need to think about, because, you know, in times of peace, I mean, we certainly, you know, go and do what we need to do on a typical day. And in times of war, we got to think outside the box. In this particular case, and even more specifically in terms of trying to do that at the LA Calendar motorcycle show next month in Calabasas, probably won't work, and it's probably not the right approach there.
Boycott the LA Calendar show. Art, you out there? Art,
yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my God,
here?
It's Silent Art.
Hi, Art.
Silent.
Hello, ladies.
What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot.
Just ladies.
Just to get some trouble.
All
ladies.
Right.
Ladies, wait. We'll start after this. Just wait. We want to get into this part of it because where the meat and potatoes is right now. Go ahead, Phil.
Where are we at?
Art.
Oh, I'm saying, yeah. Art, you follow what I said about the brother Fred Z at Laughlin turning his colors inside out and having his whole group, about 30 guys, turn his colors in? My statement is, being a former club person, that is so irritating. That is inconceivable that I would do this. I would leave the club first. Suggestion. Now, first of all, Fred Z made a decision on the spot, and I applaud his thinking. It's a good thought. It's maybe one tool. Another tool I'm saying is maybe we should all get together and boycott every event that won't allow club patches in there. How do you feel about turning your colors inside out? How do you feel about that, Art?
Well,
would you turn yours inside out?
not being a patched club member, my opinion is, for me, it would be disrespectful. You're disrespecting me and my colors, and I don't think I'd like that a whole lot.
Well, it's just like this. Sorry. If I was wearing my American Legion Riders vest, or if I was wearing my Marine Corps vest, or if I was wearing just a regular plain fucking vest with a Harley Davidson logo on the back,
American flag on the back,
which I happen to have one of those on vest, and they told me I had to take it off, I would go to fucking jail because I would tell them, go fuck yourself. I don't have to take it off.
Yeah. Get a $20 fine too there, Massachusetts.
Can I insert something in here real quick?
Please.
There is a sort of a trend. I'm not sure of its frequency or exactly how many patch holders actually practice this, but there are a number of patch holders and in various clubs, I guess, up and down the state that elect to remove their vests when riding to certain areas or through certain areas, et cetera, simply because the pressure from police is just too great, that they would rather not deal with it, and so they take their vests off and then take it back out and put it on. I don't really know what to say about that, but that's really happening.
Bobby, how about just boycotting the event? No bikers show up. Club patch holders, non-patch holders. If the event is going to not allow patch holders in, maybe the motorcycle community should say, we're not going to make that event. Hit them where it hurts in their pocketbooks.
Well, you know, here's what the promoter said about that, or supporters with the promoter said. They said that's perfect for them because they don't want us in there anyway. So if us, being the bad elements, don't show up, they're the market segment that they prefer not to show anyway. So they would rather have less people and have the right people, the desired group of our classes of people in there, and not see us or they won't miss our money, supposedly.
Supposedly, and the other thing is, Bill, it's being held at a country club this year, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay?
Keep
the noise down. Keep the fucking bad element away, and well, basically, who's going to go?
No, the point I'm making is, besides the club people not showing up and all that, I'm saying the motorcycle community should say, if they won't allow the people in there, if they won't allow the bad boys in, they won't allow the Christian bikers in, they won't allow the veteran groups in, if they won't allow anybody to patch up, maybe as a motorcycle rider, I don't want to be there. We need to find the people, suggestion, guys, the people who aren't in the clubs, they got to stand up and say, okay, we're going to support those people that are in the clubs. They have rights, too. That's the point I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
The other thing, Bobby, okay, is one, if a certain club or any club had their colors, but they always have something on underneath you can see, even if they're not wearing their vest, they always wear a shirt from an Inner Circle shirt, correct?
Yeah, well, soft colors. Yeah.
Soft color, okay? But the thing is, when they do stop them, because I've been in the middle of this now, I was in it the other day, not this weekend, but the weekend before when I went to that other thing, Bill. And basically, everybody had their stuff on, but the guys who didn't have anything on, I happened to be riding next to the president of one club on the left side. They didn't go to him. They came right to me and wanted to know who the fuck I was. Because I didn't have anything on.
But, my friend, you digress. I'm talking about the goddamn community needs to support the club people on this issue.
That's what I'm saying.
The community, the motorcycle community has got to say,
that's what I'm saying.
We are going to support the club people because they are American citizens first and foremost. Not only the clubs, the motorcycle community, that's who's got to support it. That's who's got to boycott the damn thing.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the word it's about money, because in this event, at least for the last couple of years, and I believe this year as well, there are certain actors from SOA that appear there to promote the show, and obviously themselves, they do signings and things like that. Well, I went through some contacts of mine through the big club to ask them basically, why they would support and even show up there when the folks that they are portraying in the show themselves aren't even allowed to go in, right? Makes sense. And they, their comeback was, well, you know, we're, you know, this is money to us, you know, so we're going to show no matter what. So that sort of irked me off quite a bit, quite honestly.
Right. Right, because we have, Bill and I have good friends that you're talking about, and I asked that same question, and the one
we're making
guy,
a lot of goddamn money.
The one
for
guy,
reason.
The one guy told me, "Well, I'm getting $10,000 to be here,
yeah.
plus whatever I sell."
Vice President Jax goes out $10,000 plus bennies. That's pretty hard to, you know, it's pretty hard to turn down, I guess. Which,
well.
I don't have an answer. I just want to hear other people's opinions on that because it bugs me when I see this. I am not involved with any club anymore in my life. But to see this, I keep thinking.
Well, don't say we're not involved in any club. We're on the outside looking in, but we do a lot of things on the outside.
Yeah, but it's, at some point in time, though, if they keep picking on us, you know, we'll pick on this club, we'll pick on that club, and then we keep working our way down, and then we're going to pick on the Christians, and then we're then someday they're going to go back to the independents. This is what I strongly ask everybody. Anybody that wants to go to that event, don't go.
Right.
Just don't go.
Because
there's those of us that are going, but we're not going in. We're standing on the, you know, the public side, the public streets around the periphery with signs in hand saying unfair, right, or boycott.
I hope you have better luck of traffic than Phil and I had last weekend. It was a freaking disaster. We were up by just south of Calabasas or something.
Yeah.
It was a disaster.
Was it?
And then we had split traffic so damn far. It was unbelievable.
That's okay.
We got a caller on 415. You want to jump in? I want to hear you what to say, please. 415-9.
Can you hear me?
Jump in. Talk to us.
Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Okay, so the LA Calendar Show, I just want to jump in on this this patch thing. LA Calendar Show, everyone knows in advance that colors are not allowed. And so people can get together and talk about, you know, what they want to do, whether it's stay away or go and protest or whatever they want to do. But this Pastor Z thing, and this was Laughlin, correct?
This is what?
In Laughlin with Pastor Z and the Bikers for Christ, where he turned
right.
the stewards in Laughlin. So here he had 30 of his club members there, probably went to a great expense to get there, and here he has 30 people, and all of a sudden, you know, they can't participate in the event that they've gone to. And so, you know, he made that decision so to kind of salvage their weekend is what I kind of imagine. Whether that was the right decision for the club or clubs in general, you know, I'm not sure, not being a member of a club and not knowing, you know, all the details. But
yeah, we don't need to make this adversarial.
He made it.
Okay, this is not adversarial. I'm not trying to say Pastor Z was wrong. That was his choice.
I'm not saying he was wrong or right.
I'm saying
he made it,
another choice.
He made
yeah.
an on-the-spot decision.
And he stood up. He made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he stood up.
Bill, my friend, I disagree. That's all.
Right. Bill disagreed.
Right.
I think he... thing to me,
yeah.
It was making a statement.
I don't.
It was telling them, no matter what you try to do to us,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna figure a way to handle it.
Don't have to be right or wrong. Just two different ways of looking at it.
You know, it's like you and I.
Right.
Butt
right.
heads are,
yeah, I'm not saying you guys are saying it's right or wrong or he'd made the wrong decision, but I think that's kind of what he was trying to do, is kind of salvage that weekend for his group of 30 people, his club.
I understand. Yeah. If you know Pastor Z, he's a stand-up people. I'm just worried about the future. I don't think that these organizations have a right to keep us out and to tell us who can come in and who can't go out. Why don't they put a sign up, no black people? I wonder if that'll work out.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No,
that's probably not.
Either.
No, not at all. But who are you going to get to fight this? You know, I know there's this thing, Coalition of Clubs, and is that organization strong enough to do something about this kind of discrimination that goes on? I mean,
yeah.
Are they strong enough to do that? Are they working together to do that? Do they even think about that much? And what other organizations do they have to represent them? Would it be something like ACLU or some other group? I don't know.
Bobby,
you want to respond to that, Bobby?
Yeah, very, 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 very good question. So, you know, the National Coalition of Motorcyclists, which is the COC, represents patch members from clubs all across the country. And within NCOM, there is a grassroots organization called U.S. Defenders, which basically was born in Texas probably back in 2007 and has since really grown. And basically it's the action arm of the COCs whenever there are issues related to political legislation. They're the ones that sound the horn to mobilize people and resources to contact legislators and then get involved. So that program has been working out very well, and it's been getting stronger each and every year. They've also partnered and expanded to incorporate support from the various state and national motorcycle rights organizations like MMA of California, Abate of California, and still in pursuit of partnerships with MRF and AMA. And at this point, it's about working together with everybody. It doesn't really matter about history. It doesn't matter about, what the points of concentration. Partnerships, alliances with ACLU are very much pursued and desired in this case, because in order to achieve the things we want to achieve at the magnitude that we need it to be here in the state of California as well as nationally, we got to have everybody on the same page. There's just no absolute there's no way we can do it without. If you look at the Washington State success story, in their pursuit of motorcycle profiling legislation, their founding principles was that, you know, they got over whatever they had, their politics, and just got together and did it. And that was the key thing that they were able to achieve, which the state of California, in its diversity, needs to find ways to achieve as well. So to answer your question, there are organizations out there that have the skills, the experience, legal expertise, probably don't have the same type of money situation as, say, the ACLU. But when you start bringing hundreds, thousands, ten thousands, and maybe millions of people together, we can achieve pretty much anything we want.
It's an excellent point. Thank you for that. And I do want to make a clarified point here. Whenever I'm speaking, I'm not trying to persuade anybody from changing your mind. I'm asking a question so other people will share information, show me something that maybe I didn't see. Tonight, I'm staying exactly the same on my train of thought, but I do appreciate anybody that has a different opinion on that, because, again, I'm not here to have you change your mind. By gleaning information from other people, I can understand the situation better. So if I get mad, it's just me. If I get stubborn, that's
well,
me. I will always listen to everybody. We will never shut anybody off.
No, because we're all entitled to our opinion.
Exactly.
And right here, we don't hold – it's no holds barred.
The more information we get, the better for all of us.
Exactly. Art, did you have anything you wanted to say about this?
No, not really. Bobby and those guys, they took it last year and ran with it, and I'm glad to see they're doing it again. I can't think of the young lady's name that was on the other night. She was really into this and one of the really in the forefront of the fight.
That was SWAT,
Yeah. And... Mm-hmm. The idea that they moved up to a country club this year kind of really surprises me, that they didn't have enough participation down at the Queen Mary, so now they're going to try to move to a bigger venue, a more exclusive venue. It doesn't make sense, but...
It does make sense, because they know that the real people who are in it for the heart and soul, they're not going to show up. It's going to be the wannabes that are in there for the, you know, the autographs and everything else, and totally oblivious to the fact of, because that's what it's really going to boil down to, because anybody that is in this for the heart and soul is going to understand that. Why is this a biker event and there is so many stipulations put on it, but yet, you know, this group of independent people, the new TV watchers of America that think that, you know, you watch a program, you buy a Holley, that makes you, you know, ground central. That's what it's going to appeal to. It's going to be the people that are totally in it for the Hollywood effect.
Well, I don't know if SWAT discussed this in the last show or not, but You know, the promoter himself isn't a bike builder or doesn't fabricate market products or accessories for motorcycles. His business is really women, models, calendars, and some level
porn
of association
sites.
To porn sites, right? So I find that to be sort of a wrinkle in all of this, because the LA Calendar Motorcycle Show invites families and invites underage personnel to go in there, and yet in the background somewhere, you start looking, you know, and start reading a little bit more into it, you see these affiliations, these connections to both soft and hardcore pornography sites and all these models from the various types of magazines. You know, I know the biker lifestyle is laden with recreation and things like that, but if you're going to diss us, I mean, and just market it to into families, that sort of rubs me the wrong way as well, right?
You know,
Bill and I, be a hypocrite.
No,
it's not.
Bill and I received this picture today. It's got a little caption in it. I wanted to share it with you guys. If you want to be happy for a day, drink. If you want to be happy for a year, marry. If you want to be happy for a lifetime, ride a motorcycle.
It's not a fad.
Well,
this is not something we're going to go away with. This is not something I'm going to outgrow. This is a lifetime commitment. Doesn't matter if I'm in Mexico, doesn't matter if I'm in Europe, doesn't matter if I'm around people that can't speak English. This is a lifestyle which I hope I'll, if my health continues to be solid like it is, I'll ride the rest of my life.
Well, that's what it is. What we're fighting for here is for future generations to be able to follow in that lifestyle. There'll be nothing left for them if we don't.
Yeah. I have a lot of guys that come in my shop, my Kennedy's Custom Cycles, and these guys have so much energy, and I say to them, you were born too late. That
mm-hmm.
lifestyle that you read about in the early Easy Rider and all that, that's all gone.
Yep.
You have to take a reality pill, appreciate what we have today, hold on to what you have today. Those stories about we going down to Mexico and tearing up the bars and all that, yeah, that was then. That ain't going to happen anymore. With the advancement of computers, they track us everywhere we go. So I say to younger people today, appreciate what you have. Hold on and fight for your rights. Stop coming into my bike shop saying, oh, I missed it all. You're an American. You're free. If you have any motorcycle, I'm not going to say Harley-Davidson, if you have any motorcycle, count your blessings.
Yep. Well, I noticed over in Europe, their safety people over there, they came out and already said the only way to safely operate motorcycles and not have injuries is to leave them in the garage. And
yes,
they prefer to just have them off the highway. I foresee that being the attitude here after a while, that, you know, if we get rid of them, that's less casualties, and, you know, with government health care and stuff, we're going to save money. So let's try to get rid of these things.
Well, they're concerned about, I'm not going to offend them right now, but they're concerned about, let's take Germany for a second with the Autobahn. They have to have these motorcycles inspected viciously. And I hope I'm not exaggerating this now. You can go to the TÜV, which is their DMV. You can have your motorcycle inspected. If you fail, you have one more chance to get it, prove it. If you fail a second time, your motorcycle's off the road for the next year. I'm over there several years ago. I was leaving a party in Switzerland and Norway. It's my story. It doesn't matter anyway. They had breath analysis, which for $3 you could get your breath tested. It's not mandatory, but they're already doing that over there. They're doing everything they can. We need to pay attention to what happens in Europe. In fact, we Americans got to pay attention to what happens in the world, because I swear to God,
Right now, Bill, what happens to us, Australia is happening in Canada.
Yeah.
What happens on the East Coast is coming west. What happens on the West Coast is going east.
2013, we're going to have these motorcycles that sound like solar machines. Hopefully everybody's going to be grandfathered. The world is changing. If there's any young people listening to us, again, stop listening to these old stories about the old days and how much fun. Appreciate what you have right now. Make the best
well,
of it.
Because the key to all of that, the key to maintaining all of this is definitely not giving up your Second Amendment rights to bear arms. I mean, you're going to have to protect what we have here, and a lot of countries don't even have that option.
No. So I'm going to put this link up in the chat room for you guys. But when Bill was talking about when we were talking about Canada, this is noisy drivers beware. This invention helps police and bylaw officers track you. Okay? To everyone who's ever had a deep sleep or a quiet romantic dinner interrupted by the sound of a loudly roaring car, help is at hand. An Alberta electrical engineer, this guy Mark Nasdali, has created a noise monitoring device. The noise snare is designed to help the police and bylaw officers track down the offenders. It's designed to be mounted on a car, monitors passing traffic for noise levels. The non-offering takes a video of any offenders who rev up at 96 decibels in Canada. Think of it as a red light camera, but for obnoxiously loud cars. Now, the key word in here is cars.
Yeah.
Today. Tomorrow, it's going to be fucking motorcycles.
For all the people that have been across the border to Canada, it is vicious. They don't want us in Canada.
No.
You're on a motorcycle, you're like public enemy.
Right.
You come down to Mexico. We come to the border, they wave at us. Hola. They don't care, they welcome
escort,
us.
They escort us.
Canada.
At first we thought we were getting pulled over, but then it was to escort us. But
you know,
in Canada, you know, the first $200 fine issued, any noise bylaws, is winding its way through the court system. I'd say it might take until August before there's a conviction.
Yeah. The other thing everybody needs to sort of keep a close eye on, obviously, is the ongoing activities in the United Nations, right? They're the ones behind the scenes, behind closed doors, looking to take our weapons away, looking to standardize manufacturing in which they call global harmonization of manufacturing standards. To your point, Europe is sort of the test grounds for a lot of this. In fact, Bill, you know, your counterparts over across the pond are fighting along with the Motorcycle Action Group, or MAG, to prevent the outlawing completely of custom motorcycles in the UK as we speak
right
now.
Yep.
Yep.
And who's going to benefit by this? The authorized dealerships. Who's going to hurt? I tell everybody that today the Wright brothers could not get their plane off the ground because they couldn't get enough permits. What the hell happened to America?
They would pass the safety check.
If my grandparents, who were both dead, woke up today and they looked around, they would not know they're in America. That many changes have gone on, and I don't think any of those changes were good.
Yeah.
can I ask a question to Bill since he's on?
Yeah,
Bill, so in 2013, January 2013, when they enact SB 435, how is that going to impact you?
You're asking, it's a strange question because I am mostly known as an exporter.
Okay.
It's not Kennedy's Cycles, it's Kennedy's Exporter Cycles. I ship bikes around the world, but each time, like say I sent a pair of exhaust pipes, Vance and Hines, Thunderheader, I have to send a stock set of exhaust pipes over with the motorcycle, so when they arrive, say, in Deutschland, they change the exhaust pipes, they get through the turf. As soon as they get through, they can change them again. I send Sweden, Norway, Denmark. Whatever I send over, it's a problem. Handlebars, foot pegs, they don't care about that crap. But everything I do, I send over, I have to modify. I have to add the original parts. I'll use a German word, verboten. The issue has to be, it's going to keep making changes. But I do want to say something right now that I'm really concerned about. I lost a major deal in Moscow because the people told me that if we buy the bikes from you, Bill, say about 20, and you send them over, it takes 6 to 8 weeks, and then another couple of weeks to sell them, we are so afraid that the money might drop, we may not even get the money we want out of them. Same deal I lost in Rio de Janeiro. Big group, they said, Bill, we're uncomfortable now. We'll buy one or two. This is affecting me. It's affecting everybody worldwide. The tsunami earthquake that hit Japan, I was selling 10 to 15 a month. I'm selling, the past 3 months, I've sent one bike a month over. They're trying to get back on their feet. It's a global problem. I am different than most of the average motorcycle shops. I didn't mean to deviate and go all around circles. I don't have to deal with just local customers. They're a piece of my pie, very loyal customers. But the biggest pieces of my pie are Europe and Asia. Very quickly, I got to say, we won't send shit to China. I won't send nothing to North Korea. I wouldn't send nothing to Cuba. There's not a damn communist country in the world that can buy a single bike from Kennedy's Custom Cycles. And I'm vicious on that.
Okay, hey, Bill?
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So if after January 1st on 2013,
mm-hmm.
I want to buy a set of aftermarket straight pipes for my 98 Super Glide, can
okay.
I buy them?
The answer is going to be probably no, because each manufacturer, let's talk about Advance and Heinz or whatever, it doesn't really matter. They are going to have to report to the government where all these pipes are going.
Yep.
And then they're going to have to say, okay, we sent 10 sets to Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Then the government's going to come down to Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Where are those 10 sets that you have? Then I'm going to have to say who I sold them to. I installed them. I'm getting a slap on my wrist like you wouldn't believe. The manufacturer is going to get slapped on the wrist. So after January 13th, it's going to be like a paper trail. Those of us that continue to use modified pipes and install modified pipes, we're going to get slapped for high fines.
That's basically what Jesse James went through.
Exactly. Jesse was building those motorcycles. In fact, if you know a story about Jesse James, when he got slapped by the air, clean air people, fanatics, he said, let me bring each bike back in. I'll bring them to par. And they said, no, you're not going to fix anything. Here is a fat fine. It's about revenue. And January 1st, everybody, Bub Pipes, Samson Pipes, anybody that sells stuff is going to be paper trail.
After
January 1st,
after,
yes.
Not right now.
No,
right
no,
now,
no. We're all grandfather.
We're all grandfather right now.
So this is something we have to watch out. If I install pipes the way it's going right now, I'll be hit with a serious fine. The manufacturer is going to be accountable for every exhaust pipe that UPS takes out of his manufacturing plant. Hope that answered that a little bit.
Yeah, let me add something here. I've heard from a somewhat reliable source also that there are plans to institute exhaust tests for motorcycles next year. And it hasn't officially been said, and I can't find references to that. This is sort of an inside type of thing. But just,
let me address that. Arizona's been had that smog law for, I don't know how many years, 10 years. Yamaha, Kawasaki, everybody gets smog tested. The test is useless, but it's tremendous revenue. California
exactly.
has been following Arizona every single year. California wants that smog installed right here, all motorcycles. But the testing equipment and equation they're using, it's not holding up. California does not have a program yet to do it. But for at least 5 years, to my knowledge, they are trying to get that. Think of all the Yamaha, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Harley. What if everybody gets tested? Can you hear cha-ching?
Yes.
All about money. It's all about
yep.
money.
Yep.
We're gonna take a real quick break. I wanna play this. I got a thing about this. I wanna play it real quick. This is by Evan Seinfeld from Attica 7. This is a little comment thing he's done, Bill. And
he's good people.
I want to share this with everybody.
Don't tell anybody. I'm going to go to the bathroom, okay? Don't anybody know about that, all right?
Yeah. Here we go.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true and point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do, something that didn't even have anything to do with you, but deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth? Ones who claim to be your friends never ever really down with you till the end. But now you know just what is true and the lies you can see right through. Because the truth and the lies speak part of you. Because deep inside you always knew.
I was waiting till this evening.
All the jealousy, hatred, and lies, but the truth about themselves
yeah.
is what they really. They dream your fall will help them to rise. But it's only the truth they really despise.
I'll go ahead and
shame on you for prize, because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies, ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free, because there is no justice and there is
He says it correctly right there. But we just gotta. It's like I always say, Bobby. If we can get 50,000 people for one day just to do one thing, we could shut down the court system for one day. But to get those people to do that, it's an uphill battle.
It's only through communication like this, guys, that we're going to somehow come together. If the MROs and all the different organizations, and I sometimes argue with them, just think if they would start by coming together. What a concept. If we can get rid of the ego and attitude in our motorcycle rights organizations, if we could come together, if we could find a leader, one leader.
You volunteer?
No, we got to set the bar a lot higher than Bill Kennedy. Somewhere out there, there's a leader. We need to rally around him or her. I just hope in my lifetime I find it. Bullshit on the ego, the attitude, and all that crap, but one person come forth and say, I'm here for all motorcycle rights. I'm here to help everybody. I'd rally behind them. I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But set the bar a lot higher than Bill Kennedy, please.
Anybody got any other comments?
No, it all sounds good so far.
Okay.
Is this the new leader of the Motorcycle Free World I'm listening to?
I think so.
Is this the new leader I'm listening to?
I think she volunteered.
I think I've been waiting for this. Is the Messiah? Are you going to lead us out of darkness?
Gosh darn, I can't even lead myself out of the bedroom at night to take a 3 o'clock pee, you know, without stumbling in the way. That's way too much on my back. No, I wish, you know, that more people thought like all of us who gather together every Tuesday and Thursday night, you know, because I think, like you always say and Phil always says, that, you know, with a larger group, it speaks volumes. When you have more people participating with what's right and what's wrong, you get more results. And in a perfect world, you know, things would go this way. But until we find that euphoria, we need to continue to fight for our rights and stop caving in around every corner that we become a little bit afraid or nervous or whatnot. You know, people just need to educate themselves and be more aware to, again, like you said, what's going on in the world and every place else.
Please don't wait for the motorcycle right organizations. Don't wait for them to do it. We are all American citizens. If everybody does something to help it. Philip and I are very comfortable going down to the mayor's office. Philip and I go down to the police station. Not so comfortable there. We ride our bikes to the front door. We say there's a problem. Why are people afraid to go to the police station? As long as you're on your own motorcycle, not in the back seat of the car. I mean, but if there's a problem with your telephone,
yeah,
you go to the
idea.
Telephone station.
That's a good...
If there's a problem with your gas and electric, you go there. What is the damn difference? You're Americans. Police should not fear us. I mean, we said that wrong. Sorry, guys. We should not be afraid of the police department. We need to sit there and say we're taxpayers. We need to discuss this thing logically with them. If it's something wrong, to tell them it's wrong. You don't have to say F if you don't want to. Just say, we need to address this. Just think what would happen if we all address these issues. Step up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Someday, Phil and I may go to police station and we may not get out, so
right.
Somebody else may step up.
Right. But,
we wouldn't want that to happen now.
I don't want to be in the same cell with Phil for the rest of my life.
No.
Hey, Sally.
Yeah. But I got Ryan. We got Ryan on the line. We're gonna switch gears here for this headache trying to get people. We
got our leader now. She was speaking.
Yeah. Well, we got.
Let's hear from Ryan.
We got Ryan on the line, and we have 402-619 and 402-8.
Who's coming next?
From Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan, you there?
I'm here. I wasn't sure. My phone cut off for a minute. Every once in a while, it decides it's time to reboot. So it decided that a minute ago. I wasn't sure if I got back on or not.
All right. Well, we have two callers.
I wanted to bring,
Who's one of the calls from 402? Can you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, this is Isla Ritter from Chippewa Bluff, Iowa.
Okay.
Who'd you like to say tonight, dear?
She's kind of on the spot, Bill. I told her to call in because she designed a couple outfits and sent out for our model shootout. And I was wanting to give her some props as a business owner with her outfit and stepping up and helping the local models in Colorado.
Okay, can we find out? Can we hook her up? Can you tell us how we can, all the rest of us can find out about what you're doing? Is there a web page or something? Or
I just have some pictures that Ryan sent me, though. I don't have any links.
Well, how do we find where this lady is?
Well, Ryan.
Ryan, can you help us with this?
Send me the link right now.
I just sent two links to Phil. I had to do it through Facebook because my email was going too slow. Sent you a link for Lucid Mannequins and then a Vanity Affair.
Okay.
Well, tell me how she's involved with you then. I don't know how this works out. Do you give her so many...
Sure.
Please, whatever you can help us on that. Go ahead.
Sure. Basically, what I do is I try to find local businesses. Not necessarily local to me, but I'm talking mom-and-pop companies. People that are trying to get their start, that have a good product, that need to get their name out. And I think I came across Isla right at a year ago and had just been watching her doing her fashion shows, designing all these great outfits, and finally connected with her and asked if she'd be interested in our model shootout. And she overnighted me some clothes from Iowa specifically for our event, so that was pretty cool. So hopefully that'll help get her up there and get some stuff being sold.
These are the people across America we want to find out.
Right.
So now you're linking up so other people can get in touch with this
Well,
girl?
If they send me on their... Well, like
okay.
We always do. We always.
Then we can do it up after the show.
We can go to the blog, and
you need some new clothes.
Yeah.
You know.
And this is the.
He likes skinny jeans. Okay.
Yeah. This is the blog page. Oh, here we go. Anyway, if you go to the blog page, you'll see pictures. You'll see friends.
Of you in skinny jeans?
That's a whole other show.
Oh,
you know,
no doubt, man.
Phil love, brother. Phil
yeah,
love.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Phil.
Everybody got that image.
You might as well tell that story.
Yes.
You try
to... Phil, I'm going to put you alongside of Gene Simmons now in my head.
Tyson, and I want to say it very quickly because, you know, Phil and I are friends. And the purpose of a friend is to pick on a friend every chance you get. So as soon as Screwdriver got out of surgery last time, he went down the freeway, bounce, 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 like a pinball bouncing off the cars and all that. After a while, they put stuff in his arms.
Pins.
His whole thing's messed up. So we went out for a ride. A friend of mine owns a Black Line Studio, martial art. See a lot of professional cage fighters. Not that I fight anything, but we're going to have some demonstrations. Phil's first day on the motorcycle since the major accident. We're rolling on the secondary highway, doing about 55, 60. He's okay, but now we're heading up to the freeway. And I can see that this arm is it's hurting. The position of his handlebars, the wind blowing against him, and I was right there on the freeway, and I saw a secondary road. So, of course, I took the goddamn freeway, and I rolled the bike up to 85 miles an hour. Even movies are, call me every name in the book. See, that's what love's all about, boys and girls.
Like I always say, what would you do without friends? But to get back to Lucid, I saw some of these clothes. Bill saw them, too. They look pretty good.
You look good in them, I think, yeah?
Nah, Bill.
Hey, I'm not judgmental, my friends.
No, she sent out a couple dresses also, and
we're going to
be doing a shoot for Kasha. She made one specifically to Kasha's measurements. We're going to get a good photo shoot of that, and as soon as I get that handled, I'll get those sent to you also. But, you know, for being 24 years old, having her own business and doing all that, definitely deserves some props. She's
who does great work, and hopefully you can tell by the pictures that the outfits are high fashion and the guy's
wearing
a bike.
Yeah, I can tell this guy's not wearing
good.
He wears jeans just like I do, not skinny jeans.
What are you looking at here?
Right there.
See, it's kind of odd, boys and girls, that there's a picture of a beautiful woman and a guy, and what does Phil talk about? The guy. I, on the other hand, want to point out, I think the lady is very young, very attractive. She's got a good, intelligent look to her. But you want to talk about the guy, you go talk about
Yeah, okay.
There's two pictures there. You look at which one you want.
Ballbuster. Anyway, no, to get back to Isla.
Anywhere.
Isla's got to tell us a little bit about how she got into this, what started
it. Yes, please, because you're a young lady. What made you decide to step up to the plate here?
Actually, when I was younger, I was just given a sewing machine by my mom, and I would get bored and design, reconstruct a lot of my clothes. I had a few that I made, and I wore to a fashion shoot, and a photographer approached me saying that a bunch of his models had seen some of my clothes and thought they were really cool, asked me where I got them. I told him that I made them. He said, okay, we'll come up with a name for yourself, and then we'll try and get you a portfolio going. And so, I mean, I guess it's just been a hobby of mine since I was really young, but I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't try to pursue it until I was approached by other people.
So are you just in Iowa? And well, no, now you're in Colorado, but I mean, are you branching out all over?
Can't go to the corner?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm doing a few things in Iowa. I have a fashion show that I have coming up in September, a Vanity Affair. It's September 15th. I also am... I mean, I work with Ryan with his model shootout in Colorado. I mean, I'm trying to branch out a little bit more. I mean, people know about my line here in the Midwest, but I would like to go farther than just the Midwest and, get a little well-known out there in a bunch of other states. That'd be nice.
Well, I tell you, Philip, the people listening to us right now, they may not respond, but they'll listen to what she says. Can you tell me how many countries we're getting in tonight?
Yeah.
Like we went to, how many people listen to you right now to give you an idea? Because it just spreads and spreads and spreads. One person tells another. I'm stalling because Phil's trying to hit the stupid buttons on this machine. Okay, give us an idea.
Malaysia, Indonesia, Brazil, Brunei, United Kingdom, Germany, New Zealand, Canada, Australia, and the United States.
Wow.
Most of the day, we've had the Netherlands, Latvia, France, New Zealand, Germany, Russia, Canada, Australia.
Yes. No, my Chinese friend?
No, not
every
yet.
Every now and then, one guy from China listens
one guy
to
from
us.
China, right.
He gets caught in serious trouble, but he still listens to us.
And then we got India, Poland, New Zealand.
Russia.
Russia?
I like Russia, yeah.
And then Denmark. We're all over the place tonight.
And a lot of the guys, I'm not saying this because it is England, but a lot of the guys in the UK are constantly talking to us about fashion stuff. So I'm hoping that, who the hell's our good friend over there in London? Evil Lee. He's quite into that stuff too. I'm hoping he will pick this message up here and hope you make some good contacts from that. Because what this show is about, there's no sponsorship, there's no money. They cannot pay us to be on the show because there's nothing. But we ask everybody to help those people that call in because it's all about our show. Again, not Phil and Bill. It's our show, all of us. So we hope all the people listen will pass this lady's information on.
Well, do you remember last summer we did Dana's Dream Ride?
Not pretty bad. We couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. Last year, about this time, we helped out with Dana's Dream Ride with Diana Haverstick. She'd lost her daughter.
Yes.
So if you guys remember that or not. Isla is designing and sending them a custom dress to raffle off for their bike run to help raise money for Dana's Dream Ride. So that's another place where she's stepping up and doing something to help out the local community in another state.
Nice. But yeah, like today the blog had 138,492 hits.
And please, this is important. I want to say, everybody, you have to call in, because truly nobody will listen to Phil and I too much longer. So if you people don't join us, it'll just be us, and we'll just snap one day. Please interrupt us every.
Yeah, because this is like the third year since they asked us to leave AM radio.
Yeah. I know you guys heard that story about why I'm not on AM radio, and I'll save that for another time. But if you hadn't heard it, it's hilarious.
And, Isla, you need to send me some info that I can post for you on the blog, and we'll put you in the friends column.
You know, actually, they asked me.
You just got to make sure that the links you send me, test them out first to make sure they work, because a lot of people send me some links and they don't work.
Okay. Can we ask you, because when
you do the charity events, we try follow up very carefully to make sure that you're a legitimate organization. Now, in this case, you're not a charity event. You don't ask for anything with that. But everybody that does call us up and ask us to get involved in a charity event, we are going to try to check up the best we can.
Because,
but you are a business, you're legit. It's a different story.
Because we will tell you, we will check up on you, we will find out who you are, what you are, where you're coming from.
If you're putting a bogus event on, we got friends.
We got friends.
Got long arms.
Long, yes.
If you're taking advantage of the Morse community, if you're taking fear, we're going to find you.
Mm-hmm.
You got some women out there that are just mean. These women will find you.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm mean,
but I've got a laugh from hell, man. I don't know who gave me this laugh, but I sound like an idiot when I get going, as you guys hear. I sound like a squeak machine.
The other thing I wanted to do, Bill, is I'm going to extend this invitation to Bobby, because Bobby, you know that Sean is very upset, and he was gonna try and call in tonight, and I think he was too upset to call in. But I'm going to talk to him probably tomorrow, and I'm going to set it up for Tuesday. So
upset,
if you want to be in. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Upset?
Yeah, he said he was really upset.
Okay.
And he wanted to come on and vent. So I told him that I gave him my number, and we're gonna have a conversation tomorrow.
Okay.
And well, I don't know what you guys are talking about. So as soon as it's over, fill me in and all that. Yeah.
But
well, I'll be meeting with him on. I'll be meeting with him this weekend. So I'll.
Okay.
Make sure we're set for next Tuesday.
Why are you and this guy having special secrets, huh?
It's not a special secret.
If you two got something going on that you don't want the rest of us to know, that's all right. Okay.
We don't mind, guys. They want to know what color skinny jeans each one has.
Oh, exactly. Here we go.
Hey, it's better than pink chiffon, man. So, you know, that's what they try to do to us females. They put us in pink chiffon.
Well, one of the things that Sean was upset about, Bobby, was the illegal traffic stops, the motorcycle check, how Congress is addressing the motorcycle checkpoints. He sent me an article called it's out of Ultimate Motorcycling, stated that MOCs, motorcycle checkpoints, are a controversial and unproven method of addressing motorcyclist safety, and not being an efficient use of limited federal dollars. The very existence of this program essentially profiles a group of citizens, basically the motorcycle community, for operating illegal mode of transportation. So, he was really upset about that.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. He's working on his own little WordPress blog going on there.
Right. He also sent me the list of people. He said, see who supports this bill.
Alphabetically, that's quite a list.
There's got to be 30
plus
names there.
Hmm.
Well,
that was actually a good piece of research there.
Yes, it is.
So I'd like to see that, and I told him, trying to expand that to all the major cities up and down California. It was very helpful.
Right. The other thing I was going to ask you is that that paper that you have, you guys made up about the a record of your traffic stop. Can we start using that?
Well, yeah, I think right now it's just general information, and there's, NCOM has a form very similar to it, as well as MMA of California, Motorcycles and Street Gang. The most important thing, and the thing that we've been stressing to clubs, independents, anybody would even listen to hear us, right, is every time you have a police encounter, good or bad, we want it documented. Any opportunity you have to film police in performance of their job as it relates to pullovers, surveillance, things like that, we want it captured and documented. We need all of this information to start compiling our body of evidence and making our story and our case and our argument to legislation going in the future. But it's all based on people's information. And so, yes, we can. I've been throwing it out to people individually. We've been passing them out at meetings. Right now, there's an attorney and myself out of Frisco who's investing into a database. And I think Hank mentioned in one of the other shows last week about our own fusion center. Well, I don't necessarily call it a fusion center, but I do call it, you know, a legal library of legal resources, as well as the database of all of the turned-in forms, which also includes complaint forms for law enforcement that are turned in on complaints, as well as civil lawsuit case numbers, everything that has RICO and otherwise, anything that has to do with motorcyclists and enhanced gang charges and everything else that we will eventually use. So, yes, yeah, so the answer to your question is, use the forms, get the information in. We'll worry about trying to transcribe hard copy forms or scan forms and everything into the database later, but now it's just getting information and compiling them.
Okay, because, yeah, like Bill can attest to this, I've been telling people all along, if it's a good stop, bad stop, whatever, get a business card, get a hold of me, we'll fill out the IAGA complaint.
You know, I should point out, and I want everybody to understand this very clearly, I break Phil's balls a lot, that's true. I speak on public events, I speak more than Phil does. Phil has always said, you've got to document it, document it, document it. We wouldn't be half as successful if Phil hadn't been pushing, and he still pushes always. I'm quick to get up and speak at a heartbeat. Phil is quick to document it. We need both people working together, but especially documenting, because if we can't document it, it doesn't matter what I say or where I say it. So I appreciate what you're saying about the documentation, and I want to give Phil great kudos for the work he does here. That'll probably be the last compliment I give him.
Love, all that love.
It's your tremendous smile, Phil, you know? That smile.
Don't antagonize him, please.
Oh, I would never dream of doing that. Come on. I'm from the Massachusetts area of we all have attitude, or so we've been told.
So what I'm going to do, we're at the last 2 minutes. Like I said, Bobby, I extend that invitation to you. Art, if you want to get involved in this on Tuesday, you're more than welcome to tune in. Stacey, the little boxer saying
happy trails.
Exactly. So what we're going
to
do, I appreciate everybody calling in, everybody listening, everybody participating. But we're going to take it out with we're going
to
take it out.
Keep talking. Listen, you're on the air.
We're going
to
take it out with your favorite song, Bill. We're
going to
take it out with your favorite song.
Put my glasses away. I can't see. What is it?
Oh, here we go.
Well, summertime, SME.
Yeah. Mike P, the big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homies. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homies. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, it's summertime in the valley, baby. Summertime in the valley. Twist the bottle open, homie, throw away the cap. Cause where we going, man, we don't need that. All we need is a 30-pack, a
pack of Jimmy's trash, pack of hood rats, and a paddock kicking at. I think I'll call Swim, see what's up with him. If I can throw some hoes in the pool again, when it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, too dramatic. And goddamn it, it's about that time to drink up the vodka, beer, and wine. Not even Friday night drunk for the 10th time. So what the fuck? I guess I'll bust another rhyme, cause hey, all I wanna do and drink beer and screw, hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again, rep, rep, rep.